Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, for allowing me to host this show, I'd also like to thank the Creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, colonization, subjugation, and extermination. Colonization appears to be synonymous with subjugation and extermination. Historically, it has most certainly been advantageous to the colonizer. detrimental to those being colonized. From Provocative Thought, you cannot discover someone, something in their own environment. The fact that you have never been to or seen something is not indicative of it being lost and, therefore, in need of discovery. To assume that they or the land should be colonized is to assume that they, tyranny and exploitation. Is colonization a bad word? It appears to be. Why aren't the history books calling a spade a spade? For your information, from the BBC.com, I just thought it was interesting about the Roman army. The soldiers, when they all retired, the old soldiers were retired together in a military town called Colonia. Dictionary, colonized, by definition. To send a group of settlers to a place and establish political control over it. Synonym, overrun, occupy, take over, seize, capture, take possession of, annex, subjugate, all right? Antonym, the opposite of this, leave, grant independence. So you will not have independence if colonized, okay? Also, come to settle among and establish political control over indigenous people of an area. Appropriate a place or domain for one's own use. For one's own use. So, all right? So, colonialism is the policy or practice of acquiring full or partial political control over another country with settlers. That's settlers, y'all. That's not soldiers. That's settlers. And exploiting it economically. Okay? So, again, that definition shines a much different light on the subject of the 13 colonies. Any colony. From America's Story, from America's Library, from Team 92. European nations came to the Americas to increase their wealth and broaden their influence over world affairs. That's very important right there. Pay attention to that because that's still relevant. The Spanish were amongst the first Europeans to explore the New World and the first to settle in what is now the United States. By 1650, however, England had established a dominant presence on the Atlantic coast. The first colony was formed at Jamestown, Virginia, in 1607. Many of the people settled in Jamestown. Pilgrims, founders of Plymouth, Massachusetts, arrived in 1620. In both Virginia and Massachusetts, the colonists flourished with some assistance from Native America. That's the people who were already here when they got here. They got assistance. New World grains such as corn kept the colonists from starving, while in Virginia, tobacco provided a valuable cash crop. Already we have this thing about capitalism and economics going. This is back in the 1600s. By the early 1700s, enslaved Africans made up a growing percentage of the colonial population. 13 North American colonies. That's the 13 colonies, all right? So just imagine what happened to the people that were there before them, right? President Andrew Jackson, James Polk, and John Tyler, like many Americans of this time, embraced the notion of enlarging the empire for liberty. These guys were great proponents and spokesmen for liberty, right? In other words, they wanted to expand the borders of America westward. Biden is headed west to California. Others attempted to expand the idea of what liberty in American, what in America meant. Abolitionists opposed laws that kept African Americans enslaved, and advocates of women's suffrage argued that wives, mothers, and daughters should play more significant roles in society. That was the oppression of the white woman by voting, holding office, and then working outside the home. So white women were being oppressed, and they said, you know, so forth. We kind of got that in history, right? That part right there. Okay? So, but from provocative thought, and colonizers appear to be narcissists, ethnocentric. Narcissists is one of the most selfish persons that you could run into. Everything that they do, it revolves around them and what they want and you know, their success. So it may look like he's helping you, but he's helping you to help yourself. Or she's helping you to help herself. She's with you to help herself. It's all about her. And then when that time comes for them to step on you, they will use you as the stepping stone. Okay, that's a narcissist. They have very little concern for other people, even though it may seem that way in some of the things that they do. The colonizer's life and liberty supersedes the life and liberty of those being colonized. To expand the borders westward is to destroy the life, liberty, and culture of the indigenous people. What were these guys thinking about? Did they care that other people were there, Mr. Andrew Jackson and James Polk and Mr. John Tyler? Did you care? Did they care that people were living in places? Apparently not. European colonization of the Americas from New World Encyclopedia. European nation control over South America, 1700 to the 20th century. The start of European colonization in America is typically dated to 1492. That's when Christopher Columbus came here. We'll get to that later, because this is not about Christopher Columbus, but I will talk about him briefly. They said, although there was at least one earlier colonization after Columbus, and they say that the Vikings came here in the 11th century, established several colonies in Greenland. Which, from my research, people don't know where Greenland is. They don't know what this place that the Vikings are talking about is Greenland. As some people say it's somewhere in Maine somewhere? Some people say somewhere in Canada. Some people say it was somewhere like in the northern part of the eastern coast of the United States. But it's not clear where this place is supposed to be at, where these Vikings had sailed to in the 11th century. Anyway, again, I guess they discovered America. Again, as I said previously, how can you discover something that's been there longer than you? So during which time, Greenland, Norse, and the Inuit people experienced mostly hostile contact. So when they came, they were met by hostile contact. Right from the 11th century to the end of the 15th century. So they were at war with the indigenous people there. Right? And they say in the 15th century, their settlements collapsed. So back to 1492, the most famous that we know. Spanish expedition headed by Mr. Christopher Columbus reached America. Not the America that we know. The Central like America. After which European exploration and colonization rapidly expanded, first through much of the Caribbean region. That's where Christopher Columbus landed. He did not land in what we call North America. So he didn't find anything because nothing was lost. Only time you can find something is if it's lost. You can find your way because you were lost, but you cannot find a continent. So I think that we all can agree with that. Anybody that's listening that's been living somewhere before you even thought about it. You know what I'm saying? Crossing the ocean. You can't do that. Anyway. So he was in Puerto Rico, Cuba, you know, Haiti, and places like that. And eventually the entire Western Hemisphere would come under the dominion of European nations, leading to profound changes in the landscape population and plant and animal life. In the 19th century alone, over 15 million people left Europe for the Americas. So that's 15 million people. Where are they going at? Where are they all going to fit? Imagine you got a house. You got 8 people living in your house. 100 more will come to live there. So we don't stop right there. You know, because this sounds like colonization is not a good thing for those being colonized. How did it impact on the indigenous people of the Americas? Well, let's see. Let's start with old Chris, which I'm sure that most people know about Christopher Columbus. Columbus created the tribute system in 1495, which required the Tiano, those are the people in those islands down in Puerto Rico, all down in there. Over 14 gold. I don't know what a hawk bell is. It's like, I guess it's like a cup of gold or something like that. Every 3 months. No, that's not me. You searching for gold dust. Those who complied were given a token to wear around their necks. Those who didn't, as Columbus' son Fernando reported, were punished by having their hands cut off. Okay? And they were left to bleed to death. Now, I also read where it said that hands were cut, hands cut off, put around their neck, left to bleed to death. About 10,000 persons in Haiti and the Dominican Republic suffered such a cruelty. The indigenous people were alive. While alive, were roasted and spit, burnt at the stake. Invaders hacked the children into pieces. Columbus men would make bets as to who would slit a man in two or cut off his head with one blow. You understand that? That's going to make a bet here. I can cut this guy in half with one strike of my sword, or I can cut his head off with just one swing. They making bets on stuff like that. They ain't betting on a horse race, a chicken race. They're betting on cruelty. Okay? So they open up people with the gut cutter. They let the bile fall out. They tore babies from their mother's breast that by their feet and dashed their heads against rocks. That's a snatch the baby from you and beat his head up on a rock. All right? So that's Columbus. That's his crew. They split the bodies of other babies together with their mothers on the swords. In one incident, Columbus drew his sword. Then about 100 of his boys drew their swords and began to rip open the belly and kill a group of Tiano men, women, children, and the elderly. What is that all about? Spanish historian, Catholic priest Bartholomew de las Casas, who witnessed such a carnage, said Columbus, in order to test the sharpness of their blades, directed his men to cut off the legs of the children who ran from them. When a couple of them met two Indian boys, each carrying a parrot, they took the parrot and for fun beheaded the boys. Okay, this kind of stuff is going on. In addition, people were eaten alive by hunted dogs, buried alive. Babies were killed for dog food. This shipmate Miguel Cuno wrote that when we leave for Spain, we gathered 1,600 male and female Indians, and these embarked with us. And on February 17th, 1495, for those who remain, we let it be known to the Europeans who manned the island fort that anyone who wanted to take them could do so. He took a teenage girl, Caribbean girl, as a gift from Columbus. He took a girl as a gift from Columbus. Right, she resisted. He beat her unmercifully, then raped her. University of History Professor James Lowen said that as soon as the 1493 expedition got to the Caribbean, before it even reached Haiti, Columbus was rewarding lieutenants with native women to rape on Haiti, sex slaves were one of the most was a prerequisite. It included adult rape and child rape. Columbus wrote himself. In 1500, girls from 9 to 10 are in demand. Okay, that's the kind of thing that's going on there. It said 1943, there were 8 million piano. That number was reduced in 3 years to just 3 million. By the time Columbus left in 1504, there was about 100,000 remaining. So there's an idea what happened. 500 years of indigenous resistance by Bobby Costello, dickhavo.com. Until recently, commonly accepted population level of the indigenous people of the eve of 1492 were around 10 to 15 million. This number of how many people was actually alive in the United States at the beginning of the arrival of the European conquest or whatever you want to call it, colonization, imperialization, imperialism or whatever, extermination, whatever, subjugation, whatever you want to call it, all of those things. The number, and I can understand that because who was counting people? Who was going around actually counting everybody? We don't know. So, but it was a lot of people here, you know. And they said that 1492, as a discovery in which only a few million Indians died, only a few million. Now, a few million people is not an only number. There's 6 million Jews died in World War II, and they're still talking about that. So only a few million Indians is not a small thing. So, you know, I take issue with the that he says only a few. Like, it's only a few. That's to marginalize the death of the indigenous people is, I don't know. And then mostly, he said most of them died from disease. More recent demographic studies place the indigenous population between 70 to 100 million people, with some 10 million in North America, 30 million in Mesoamerica, and around 57 million in South America. That's a lot of folks, indigenous folks. You understand that today, in spite of 500 years of genocidal colonization, right? Colonization, there is an estimated 40 million indigenous people in the Americas, right? Indigenous people lack any control over their own lands and comprise the most exploited and oppressed layers of the population, okay? So indigenous populations are, as the word colonization says, are at the foot of the nation, right? So they're not in control of the place of their birth. Foreigners are, and the foreign invaders are, usurpers are. So colonization is not a good thing. Good thing at all. And we need to rethink that whole thing about colonization. And I just want to credit Mr. Michael Kaur from Philly Magazine News with the story about Christopher Columbus and the tribute system and so forth. I forgot to mention that. Thanks, Mike. So I just want to go through a couple of battles they had. I didn't know there was so much, but apparently because of all these wars and conflicts, battles that took place, the indigenous people who are not Indians, but they call themselves Indians now, understand, they were fighting the whole time, 1540 to 1541. The Tiguex War, T-I-G-U-E-X, you know, fighting Vasquez de Coronado against the 12 Pueblos of Twa Indians along both sides of the Rio Grande River in New Mexico. It was the first war between Europeans and Native Americans in the American West. So these guys were fighting, and I hope, you know, well, it sounds like they were fighting before that, because if Eric, the son of Leif, the son of Eric, who was Leif Erikson, came here in the 11th century, was here, and he fought. They fought the whole time they were here until they were apparently repelled to leave. Apparently, they were fighting even way before the 1500s. Right? That's if he landed here. So if he did, they repelled him. They kept fighting them until they left. 1622, the Powhatan Wars, they had, these guys were fighting. And I mean, they got a whole list of wars here. I think I heard of that. That was a new ink between colonists and Native Americans as a result of tensions over colonist expansionist activity. Now let's translate that. Colonist expansionist activity simply means colonists taken from the lands from the Indians, trying to move them out and trying to move in. That's that house. You got a house of eight people, and now you're trying to move. In this case, the house of eight people is a house of 100 people, and it's eight people trying to come into the house and move them out. So when you hear things of people have conversations about expansionist and then expanding their area into somebody else's homeland, that is not that's a nice way of saying we're going to take everything you have, and if you get in our way, we're going to kill you. You understand that? Because you cannot expand into somebody else's house. Somebody, I can't go out. I can't go to my neighbor's yard and say, "Oh, I want this. I'm taking this." I can't do that. I can't go in his house, bang a hole in my wall, and go into his house and say, "This is now mine." I cannot do that. But that's what these guys did. You know what I'm saying? They had the Mystic Massacre during all the Pequot War. English colonists with Mohegan and Narragansett allies. These are Indians fighting against each other on the side of people who are usurping them from their land. Attack a large Pequot, killing around 500 villagers. Now that sounds similar to me as what happened in Africa, where we had African tribes taking black people, imprisoning them in their camp, then giving them to Europeans for slaves. Because later on, they were, even before that, because we had the Punic Wars, so that was like 500 years. Hannibal and Hannibal's father fighting Italy, you know, Europeans invasion and stuff like that, you know. So, I mean, like, it seems like the Indians had this, the Native Americans had the same problems that the Africans had, lack of unity, and I hope that they have unity now. Right now, we don't. Now, not some are unified, but there's not enough unity among them. Okay? We have wars. There's just so many wars. French and Algonquin Indians destroyed New York, killing 16 settlers, including 10 women. It's going on. I got a whole list of wars. And we have, I'm going to skip on down here to the, because the wars were so many, I copied this for myself, because I couldn't believe it, that these guys were fighting like this, and it's because, you know, 1861 is somebody you know, famous, numerous Apache bands rejected reservation life. Ain't that something? Numerous Apaches rejected, why wouldn't you reject? That's the equivalent to the Jews rejecting being in a concentration camp. That's a place you're putting people at. That's not a place where they want to be at. I mean, come on now. They reject being put on a reservation. I think that was should have been expected. And under Geronimo, Cochise, and others staged hundreds of attacks on outposts. Geronimo finally surrendered in 1886. Others fought on until 1900. 1900, y'all, I bet you thought that they weren't fighting in the 1900s. These guys are still getting on. The Sioux War of 8 skirmishes in the southwestern quadrant of Minnesota resulted in the deaths of 700 white settlers and the largest mass execution in U.S. history. 38 Dakota were hanged. About 1,600 others were sent to a reservation in present-day South Dakota. The Battle of Apache Pass. We had like they did y'all get it in. The Cheyenne War, 1864. The Cheyenne and Arapaho tribe were suffering terrible conditions on their reservation, and in the summer of 1864 began to retaliate by attacking stagecoaches and settlements along the Oregon Trail. And I'm, you know, by the time you want a reservation, it's over. You done. It's over for you. The Apache War, 1864 to 1886, when Mescalero, they would make movies about this guy Apache, or these guys, Mescalero Apache were placed on reservations with Navajo at Fort Sumter, New Mexico. Then war began and continued until 1886 when Geronimo surrendered. Geronimo is a very, very famous Indian. Battle of Kill Bill Mountain. We had the Cheyenne War, 18, this is a ton of wars. These guys were fighting, but it sounded like a lot of the fights came, they had to be pushed to fight at some case. You know, I guess they're not really the warmongers that people, Hollywood has, tried to make them out to be. You know, I'm gonna go ahead and, because I'm gonna go down all the way down the Battle of the Little Bighorn. Y'all know what happened in the Sioux. Sitting Bull, Crazy Horse, Seventh Cavalry, George Custer took a terrible loss. The Cheyenne War, conflict between the United States and the armed forces, and small group of Cheyenne families fighting the whole, U.S. Army. It goes on, the Wounded Knee Massacre. That was another one. They made a movie about that, I think. Sitting Bull's half-brother, Bigfoot, and some 20 Sioux were killed by U.S. 7th Cavalry only 14 days before Sitting Bull had been killed with his son Crowfoot at Standing Rock Agency in a gun battle with a group of Indian police that had been sent by the American government to arrest him. Indian police. Something's wrong with this picture. But that's what colonization will do. The Portuguese gradually switched from an initial plan of establishing a trading post to extensive colonization of what is now Brazil. Prison slaves to run their plantation. Portuguese gradually switched from an initial, and the Spanish world government is expected to rule these settlements and collect at least 20% of all treasure found. These guys are like to go and exploit the natural resources of the land. That's very, very important because natural resources is something that will always be in demand because everything you see around you comes from a natural resource. So keep that in mind. So that's how they generate money, controlling the natural resources, creating a system, right? Where you have an economic system where you have resources instead of you living off of the natural resources. Okay? So, maybe. Oh, anyway, it goes on to say that in addition to collecting all the taxes they could, by the late 16th century, American silver accounted for one-fifth of Spain's total budget. In the 16th century, perhaps 240,000 Europeans entered American ports. So they took over America just by coming here, right? So, I don't know. Maybe that's what Trump is afraid of, history repeating itself. It seems like the people who needed a wall were the indigenous people of the Americas. So this thing went on. You can start it at the colony of Virginia. You can start it at 1607. You can start it at 1492. You can start it in the 11th century with the Vikings. They said they came here. It's unclear if they actually came to what we call the Americas. But it could have been in Canada. It could have been somewhere in the northern part of what we call the United States. I am not sure. Anyway, the native population of the Americas, 1492. You know, they said the pre-European contact population of the Native American population is estimated to be as high as under the 12 million in 1492. I don't know how they could get these numbers, because I'm sure they didn't have a census. While others estimate the population have been as low as 8 million. But, like, in any case, the Native population declined to less than 6 million by 1650. Okay? A 150 years of death. If there were 8 to 5 million Taino in Puerto Rico or those islands down there, there had to be more than 8 million Native Americans before the Europeans arrived. Come on now. all of this colonization, subjugation, and extermination, does that make a proud nation? Anyway, from Wikipedia, it said, oh, how many natives were killed in North America? Indigenous people, North and South, were displaced, died of disease, and were killed by Europeans through slavery, rape, and war. In 1991, about 145 million people lived in the Western Hemisphere. By 1691, the population of indigenous Americans had declined by 90 to 95%, or around 130 million people. But I don't hear anybody talking about that, because that's a hell of a lot more than 6 million. And I'm not taking nothing away from the 6 million, but 130 million, and you can see that they're not here, because you don't even see them. Today, there are over 5 million Native Americans in the United States, 78% of whom live outside of reservations. Press, University of Wisconsin Press. Research by some scholars provides population estimates of the pre-contact Americas to be as high as 12 million in 1492. That's just another source saying that, supporting that number. I guess they don't really know how many people there were, but from the number, they're saying it was a hell of a lot of people here. In any case, the population declined to less than 6 million by 1650. That's from another source. So the common theme is the decline of the Native American population since European colonization. U.S. Census Bureau from InfoPlease says population is 6.6 million U.S. population. No. That's got to be wrong. That must be wrong. The nation's population of Native Americans and Alaskan Natives, including those more than one race, they made up 2.0% of the total population in 2015. So anyway, in summary, from about the westward expansion, what does westward expansion mean? The Western expansion encompasses the acquisition of territory. This was written so nice. United States across the whole area of the North American continent, from the Atlantic Ocean in the east to the Pacific Ocean in the west. Pacing systems such as roads, canals, and railroads, and the belief in manifest destiny of the United States of America. So, just in case you don't know about the manifest destiny, but we have a caller. Welcome, caller, to Provocative Thought.
Hello, this is yes. Daniel. How are you doing?
And all right, Daniel, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, and I do agree with a lot of what you're saying about, you know, when a larger group comes in, meaning colonization, the other group certainly does suffer. And at the same time, I also hope, like, for example, a terrible issue that happened, a couple of years ago with the Lakota up in the Northwest, right? And they sprayed them with hoses, and it was freezing cold, and these weren't just, like, angry, young, you know, strong, you know, warrior-age men. I mean, there were families there and babies and everything else, and they're spraying them with water, and eventually, they won their case, or to a degree, they did, I believe. Remember, I don't know if you remember the issue with the water lines going through their tribal land. And one of my best friends is a former Cherokee chief, and used to be a guitar player in my band. and a lot of times, he would say, sometimes it's just a matter of us not coming together, you know, properly, and they're not even with anger or hatred or anything like that. Just you know, if we unite and stop with some of the internal petty bickering and different internal politics, that can happen with any group.
Right. It has happened with many groups.
Yeah. And, of course, one example I'd like to bring up in history, one of my favorite historical characters is in the white community is John Brown. You know, as he was, you know, raising a little army, and he wasn't like a wealthy guy. I mean, he had some resources, but to fight against the slave traders, and they executed him. And he said at the end of the day, if I was defending a wealthy man's cause, I'd be given an award today instead of being, you know, hung.
That's right.
Instead of being stretched.
Right.
And
that's correct.
So, and I know I'm talking about a couple different issues here. And I'd also like to say about the wall issue, and I thought that was an interesting metaphor you made about the wall being, you know, up. they should have had a wall before. And, you know, but my point being is here's my point on the immigration thing. And you have to understand that I'm coming from a perspective of someone who is, you know, I'm a Caucasian male. Who is
right.
helping someone raise a little black girl, you know, in America.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all those issues that come up, like even issues of beauty or what she thinks is, you know, beautiful. And I'm like, to sidetrack just a little bit, I remember I told her, I said, do you know that people actually pay money to, you know, burn their skin to be as pretty as you? Getting along. but outside of that, I'm saying from that, and my girlfriend's Latina from Colombia. So my point being is it's a greater crime to break up a family than it is to, you know, enter a country illegally because some terrible thing happens. And guess what? Because a lot of the terrible things are happening are not exactly that America is innocent of. I mean, one of the classic,
right.
maybe the big gorilla in the room being, forgive the expression, is or the elephant in the room, is the war on drugs, for example. But I'm very much against prohibitions like that, politically and personally. And when you push something that's in high demand to the underground, you create a giant criminal element. And of course, if they're living in a violent place, they're trying to escape because of the wars that happen because of our war on drugs. Now, I know I'm sidetracking a little bit talking the war on drugs, but I'm trying
actually,
to tie that into the.
Actually, you aren't sidetracking. You're not. You're right on point, actually.
And I'm tying that into the colonization. Because they went and tried to make it global. They sent people out, even that Tent City jail guy. I remember he was on an interview on a show, and they made him sound like a hero. And I knew a guy, he was a Navajo guy, who was out there in the Tent City jail. One of his cellmates, believe it or not, was the old country singer Glenn Campbell. Just a funny side story. But the point being was that You have to judge bad law. So what I'm saying is that not everything's racial or exactly ethnic, even though you can pin things in those directions at times. But, you know, when you follow the money trail and you follow that police state trail, and then you get other people to agree, regardless of what ethnicity they are,
That's right.
Become so dangerous because the money's involved. Then you have to sell out anything else. I mean, really, a Tent City jail? I mean, that's pathetic. Nobody should be interviewing this guy like he did anything. You know? He saves money on a building. He just put up some tents. And my whole point being is that's a form of colonization. You're colonizing through law versus actual always physically going there and doing it and trying to make it a global war on drugs. Which created a lot of the gangs, everything, MS-13, all that stuff, you know, and which started so small and tiny until it was enabled by bad law.
Right.
So I guess that's part of my point is if we stand up against bad law, using the example of John Brown, of course, it didn't work out for him, obviously, but it's you can always find friends. There are allies out there. You can find them. You know, it's just, it's tough because the powers that be control so much, and they can,
right.
You know, when you go to court, you can't make your case like I just made it. I mean, whatever, the judge wouldn't care about that. And,
right.
But
that's
anyway,
if you have money to go to court.
Right. Yeah. And again,
you've
got
to be able to afford to fight something in court.
Oh, yeah, to get the good lawyer, right? To get someone else who's,
yeah.
who's already in the system. Oh, I know him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Bob. Oh, we play golf together. You'll be okay.
I understand that people with money, if you want to make money, you have to surround yourself around people who have money. Understand that and support people that have money to maintain money and wealth. I understand that. But what the part that's not right is for you to take the light and the culture from other people, to suck that from them so that you can, gain whatever it is you plan to gain for control, for wealth and anything. That's wrong. You know what I'm
and
saying?
That's all part of, yeah, oh, it's part of the whole equation. And you've seen so many neighborhoods. Like, I'm from Baltimore originally, and I lived in D.C. for a little while, or right near D.C., and, you know, you saw what they sort of, I guess, classically call the whitewash of some neighborhoods, and some of it better than others. But at the same time, you know, some places, they lose some of their culture. And when that happens, I think especially when it happens on a global scale, here's an example. When you and I walk down the street, there's not another country with their army soldiers on the corner, you know. But people still think that that's okay, that we do it to others. And to me, Americans would be outraged by that. Imagine the crybabies on right-wing talk radio if there were soldiers from another country occupying the corners of our streets. They would be in a complete outrage. I don't know if you listen to right-wing talk radio, but, you know. My dad does.
That's interesting.
You know, I love my parents.
Funny you should say that, though. Funny you should mention that.
Yeah,
you know, not that they have anything to do with today's show, but I'm under the impression that there's an armed force here from the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
So it had I saw something where they had a lot of military vehicles and stuff like that being transported on the rails here in the United States and from the United Nations, actually. So that is questionable, since you mentioned that. And, you know, this place is already colonized, conquered, and things like that. So what would be the purpose of that? Of course, we know what would be the purpose. But, why that would happen, why you would need another military force here.
Right.
You don't have to be a genius to figure out why they would need that.
Yeah, we would only need another military force to protect us from our own government, I think. Because America actually has an incarceration rate that's more than China and the old Soviet Union combined. So at some point, bad law has not worked for us. And it's not going to work for the next generations whose fathers are in jail or mother.
It's not about us, though. You do know that, right?
No,
I hate to say that to you, but it's not about me and you.
Right.
If it was about you, you would have been able to make some changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not about you. You don't have the power to make change. But what we can do as individuals, we can make changes in our own personal lives. That's
right.
The change that we should be held accountable for, hold ourselves accountable for. Even though we've been colonized, we've been brainwashed, been pitted against each other, black against the white, Catholic against the Muslim, all of this stuff.
Right.
We can use our own mind. Why can't we use our own mind?
Right. And there always it can always come down to that. It can all no matter what's out there or how bad it is. And I'm not doom and gloom, by the way. I don't want to sound hopeless. I was just bringing up some bad situation. I actually do think there's hope in the world. I'm not like I don't live my life all depressed and sad. I mean, concerned, yes, but that's different, if you know what I mean. And but my point is, And you're right, and you made a good point. There are those individual choices that you can make to make sure you're, you know, a little outside that. But when you're young and you're coming up, and you're coming up in an environment that a lot of people might not understand, like a city like Baltimore, for example, where I'm from, you know, you can get yourself caught up a little, you know, and then you got a record and it's hard to get a good job. And these things can kind of, they can kind of escalate and snowball. And some people don't understand that. So they'll be like, oh, why can't that person get it together? You know, well, because they kind of just didn't have a good start in the beginning. And I know a lot of people disagree with me on that. But eventually, I mean, even I have cousins that are no good. And they've been in jail and they've been in and out. But they straighten
sure
themselves
do.
Out
sure
of anything.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. Yeah. It's not a black or white thing about who's going to jail. We know that. You know what I'm saying? But it's a disproportionate amount of black people being sentenced off. More frequently, longer sentences, takes a longer time for them to get out of prison, you know. But not necessarily a part of colonization, but we are here as a function of colonization. You understand what I'm saying? Because the country was here and it was colonized and formed to be the country that it is now, you know. And once people start making money off of a certain system, you don't expect them to just give it up just because it's not fair to you, do you?
Right.
And I'm not saying they should. I'm not just saying that, you know, just speaking on how people might be thinking. I'm not giving a half a billion, right, for you. For what? Why? I made it. I was poor, right? My people were poor. Mm-hmm. I made it, right? Or we're not like y'all. You know, we were never you. Grandfather was came from the dirt, and we built this empire. I'm not going to give it up to help somebody who's not what I don't deem worth it, black or white, red, yellow, or green.
And that plays a big part, is people can very easily separate. Like, say if something works out and they get the – and I mean nice people. I don't even mean like bad people that you would think are – you know, in any way corrupted or racist or whatever. It can happen very quickly. You know, you get successful and you get this. Suddenly you're living on this level. Suddenly you start talking to the help a little different, meaning like the waitress or whatever. I've seen it. I've witnessed people do that. And it's like, really? This guy's acting like this in you know, in a restaurant and starting to get all demanding and like I said, talking to the help. And like they're the hero support or whatever. And
you know what?
Anyway,
look at it like this. What happened?
Right.
So they've been marginalized. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and even in their own minds, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, the health is important.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you break the back of this of a slave state? Free the slaves, and the slaves actually get the lead. The economy is going to fall.
And
same thing for us right now.
Yeah.
We are valuable, and every one of us.
No, I agree with you completely. And an example of what you're saying, I was in I did a tour. I used to be a musician full-time, but now I'm back doing, you know, my day job. I'm an electrician, but I still play. And I remember going to some of the towns, and one of them, I think it was in Charleston, North Carolina, if I remember correctly. And it was, you know, beautiful, nice, great, great little city, you know, down south. But I remember there seemed to be absolutely no homage to who actually helped, you know, make it or build it.
Right.
It was like these statues of, you know, whatever the white settlers that came in. And I'm saying that as a white person myself. And it was just, it was friendly and nice and sweet and everything in a cool place, but it seemed to be devoid of this honor, devoid of this recognition, maybe is a better way to say it. of who might actually help make this place happen at one point.
Right. Well, and you know, some people are that way. It's hard to change somebody else, but like I'm saying, back to what I said originally, you can change you. You know what I'm saying? And maybe, and
right.
you changing you, you have that impact on somebody else. That spread, instead of me teaching somebody to go out by themselves, go get a 50 pack, flip it, you come back, get two, you know, we keep teaching you how to do stuff that's not right. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we teach people things that are more ethical, and we make right being cool and wrong being not cool. You understand what I'm saying? And
oh, yeah.
we can survive better, even if we don't get to be wealthy. We can be safe in our own neighborhood. We don't have to kill each other.
Right. And again, another thing, and again, I'm not claiming any false street cred here as a Caucasian person, but you know, being from Baltimore and living in Baltimore, you know, it's, as you know, it's kind of, it's a black city.
We have 30 seconds, brother. And maybe we're going to be off the air, so I'm going to wrap it up. Go ahead. I don't want to cut you off too long.
Anyway, and a lot of people, they down themselves. Like, even if people go and, you know, they do something, they get an education, and they don't come across a certain way, and they just pull down them. They'll down somebody else for not being a certain way or talking street enough or something like that, you know, and that's another issue. It could probably be a 3-hour show, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to try to hit as many issues as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many. You know, but, you know,
right.
back to being colonized, it's not a good word. What I noticed through my life is that the history books in the schools, like, they don't even hint of any of the atrocities or anything like that, you know.
Right.
And nor does Hollywood. I mean, because I guess Hollywood might have made a couple of movies about, like, I think Kevin Costner made a good movie, Dances with Wolves, kind of show how things are going for the Indians. You know what I'm saying? And you know, we just have to rewrite things. The truth. Somebody needs the truth out there. And you know, we got 10 seconds up, but I want to thank you for calling in. I want to thank the listeners. Anybody that's listening in, and remember, we'll be back on next Saturday, 8 to 9 o'clock. Thanks, We Talk Productions, for allowing me to host this show. Richard Kenny Jones, Black Rep in America, 8 to 9 o'clock on Tuesday. All right, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth, the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.